Hello again, Blind Call Tech listeners. This is Jack Scrimshaw here. I noticed the emphasis on that, not Strenshaw. I don't know what Larry was thinking when he posted my last session, Guitars Part 1, but I can assure you the name is Scrimshaw. And I just want to thank Larry and all the guys involved with the Blind Call Tech site for posting that little article, despite the vast amusement that the mistake with the name caused. It really got some questions asked. I got in touch with quite a few people through email and MSN, so thanks to all the guys at Blind Call Tech, and of course to all the people that sent me MSN messages and emails and asked questions and gave little comments as to what they thought of Guitars Part 1. The two most popular questions and comments were, when are you going to do the lap steel guitar piece? And can you suggest any accessible material for blind people who want to learn to play the guitar? Well, we're going to be covering both those things. In this session, we are going to talk about the lap steel guitar. We're also going to have a little bit of fun with an instrument that isn't guitar related, but I had to bring it on board. It's the banjo, which is sometimes described as the poor man's guitar. I don't know why, because a lot of the banjos I've seen these days are very, very expensive. But a lot of people out there love nothing better than the sound of a banjo. So today's session has a real country feel to it. But we'll try and get you rockers involved as well. We'll probably put this particular instrument in front of me on distortion so that you can enjoy the delights of that. And this instrument here, if it'll just introduce itself, is the lap steel, the Hawaiian lap steel guitar. There is another kind of steel available, which is the pedal steel. I'm not even going to attempt to describe that instrument. Needless to say, it's one of the most expensive and most complicated instruments around. But it's the sound that you will hear more often than not when you hear a steel guitar in use in country music these days. But back in the 30s and 40s in particular, I mean, these are still used, but way back in the heyday of country, people like Hank Snow and Hank Williams, Derek Campbell, of course Derek Campbell would have been a good bit before the 30s and 40s, but a lot of Western swing players in particular, the Western swing division of country music, they used the lap steel. Or they used a dobro. Unfortunately, I don't have a dobro with me anymore, but it's basically the acoustic version of the lap steel. The best way to describe a dobro would be a guitar that's had a confrontation with a grill, because instead of a sound hole, there's a steel plate over the top of the sound hole, or a resonator for our technical musicians out there. But let's get on to the instrument at hand, the steel guitar. That's what we've got here today. It's basically not like a guitar at all. The only way you could describe it as a guitar is because it has six strings. It is an oblong frame. The tuning pegs or machine heads are at the top of the curved head. I suppose you would say it was a curved head. Then we come down to the nut, which I believe is made of wood on this particular model. Of course, the nut is where the strings go into the head. They then lead down the body, the oblong-shaped body of the instrument. And then we see the microphones, of course the bridge, and the saddle. You see the microphones are where the sound comes from. This is an electric instrument. It's not an acoustic. So it's plugged into, I think it's mostly plugged into a guitar amp, although I'm using a Fender bass amp at the minute. I'm not being paid to say that, and I will edit it out, as Hazy Dixie used to say. I probably still do say. And we have two controls on this one. Just a simple volume and tone control. I'll demonstrate those as well. To play the lap steel, you will need a plectrum, I would say. You can use your fingers, but... doesn't have as nice a result. So a pick is advised. Just gets a louder, crisper sound. Unlike a guitar or a banjo or mandolin or fiddle or practically any other string instrument I can think of, we don't use our hands to pluck the notes. Usually you'd find a fret on your instrument and you pluck the note. You can't do that on a steel. There's no give with the strings. You can't press them all the way down to the body. If you try to pluck a chord, you just get... which sounds like something from a video game. Which is why we use a slide or tone bar. I would advise you to use a tone bar, simply because it grips the strings better and it's easier to hold and control. Unfortunately, I'm using a bottleneck, which is a small tube, I'd say it's about 5 inches. A lot of guitar players have probably used a bottleneck in things like rockabilly and rock music when they've tuned their guitars down. Speaking of tuning, the lap steel is tuned to a chord, just like the banjo. Only the difference with the lap steel is you can tune it to pretty much any chord you want. As you'll hear there, I've tuned mine to G, which is one of the two most popular tunings. The other is the D tuning, which is more often than not what you will see a dobro tuned to. Most dobro players prefer to use the D tuning. And I must say, having played a dobro, it is easier to play it in D, but for some reason I didn't like the D tuning on a steel. I found to get the higher chords, you know, when you're going up the body and you're going for that real... a D tuning was easier, because you could get the higher notes, so that's what we went for. Okay, now let's get on to some playing. If you have a steel guitar in front of you, you just bought one or whatever, feel free to join in, or if you have a guitar or a harmonica or a mandolin, whatever you have in front of you, please join in and jam along. Or if you just want to sing and click your fingers, do that too. Now, what you do is place your slide on the strings. Make sure it covers all 6 strings. So hold the slide vertically. Don't hold it horizontally or crossways, otherwise you won't cover the strings and you'll keep slipping off. And place it right up against the nut. Now move it along. Sound is going to be your guide here, so listen to that carefully. You heard a muffled chord there. This steel is fretless. The strings cover up what would be frets. So if you now take your pick and place it against the low string, the lowest string, the bass string, or the string nearest the ceiling, and strum down once. That is a G sharp or a flat chord. Move the slide along. An A chord. B. C. C sharp. D sharp or E flat, E, F sharp, sorry, just F, F sharp, or G sharp, then G, and we're back where we started. That's basically how the steel works. It's played in chords, and you slide the slide along to the chords. So basically, if a country song was on the radio and there was a steel player, and the song was playing in the key of G, you'd probably hear something like this. The only problem, as I say, I do recommend you use a tone bar rather than a bottleneck. The bottleneck does get caught between the strings a lot, especially if you're like me and you have large hands. You can control it to some extent by putting your thumb on the bottom hole and your second and third finger on the top hole with your first finger on the top. But especially as you go high up the neck, it slips off. Now, the tone bar wouldn't do that because you're in more control. You have more control over it. So that's where the real pros come in. When you're playing high up the body like that. And you don't just use chords on a steel guitar. You can pick as well, as you saw me do there. For example, if I take this D string here, the top D string. Now there you are, I just picked a tune using the top three strings. And I'll show you how I do that. I pluck the open D. Then hammer on with a slide. Slide up to a G. It's basically putting the slide on the string and pulling it off at exactly the right moment. But a tone bar would do it so much better. Okay, that is the basics of the Hawaiian lap steel. When I come back, I'm going to bring back the banjo and we're going to have a little bit of fun with the poor man's guitar, as it were. And then we're going to discuss what guitar you should buy if you were in a shop and you saw all the glorious guitars in front of you and you wondered what model you should buy and what prices you should look over. So, I'll see you in a moment.
Control F11.
Oops.
Control F7.
Okay, we are back with the poor man's guitar. Yes, it is the banjo. Not the tenor banjo, and I'll explain why. The tenor banjo is an instrument with only four strings, and that is used along the similar concepts as a mandolin. So if you heard a tenor banjo play, you'd probably hear it going. Time. Now you probably say, well, why not just use a five string for that? Well, as you heard, using tremolo, which is very fast up and down picking, on the five string banjo is very, very difficult. Let's start with telling you what this instrument looks like for the first timers. Originally, the banjo was invented in Africa. But it looked a lot different. Their instrument was in fact called the banjar. It was basically a gourd with a stick on it. It's like an old turtle shell with a stick on it and three strings. A drum string and a B and D string. The other two strings, the bass G and bass D, were added later on. And in fact the five string banjo, or the bluegrass banjo as it's more commonly known, was invented in America. And yes, you can hear me drumming on it there. The banjo does look very like a drum. It has the traditional headstock and neck. And there are five strings on the neck. The four strings are laid out traditionally in a row. And then we have the drum string, which starts a couple of inches away from that and then breaks off at a certain point on the neck. In fact, the tuning peg to tune the drum string is actually on the neck itself. It's not on the headstock. Going down the neck, we come to the pot of the banjo, or the drum, or the head, whatever you want to call it. And on the head, we have, of course, the bridge and the saddle that the strings go into, and a drum head of some kind. I know a lot of banjos these days are equipped with Remo drum heads. We call this the vellum. And the vellum is really what gives you the beautiful sound that the banjo makes. A good tight vellum and playing close to the bridge is going to give you that real. twang sound of the banjo, which is what we want, as well as some other things that we're going to talk about in just a moment. Another one of the things that gives the banjo such a great sound is a resonator. Now, this banjo does have a resonator, which is like a round bit of plastic on the back of the banjo. And it's screwed to the back, where the drum ends. Some banjos don't have backs. They're called open-back banjos. And some say they're louder, some say they're not. Personally, I prefer to play with a closed back, because you've got something to brace the banjo against when you have a back on it. You can brace it against your stomach or your right hip, and put your forearm on the armrest. Some banjos do have armrests, some mine does. And then place your fingers on the vellum. Now the banjo is tuned to G, as I said earlier. And usually it's played with the fingers, or played with metal picks, two metal finger picks and a plastic thumb pick. However, again, I've gone against the rules and I'm using a standard guitar pick. I'd say it's a medium pick. It's not too heavy and it's not too light. It's just enough power on the banjo, as you can hear there. Now, unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to play the usual bluegrass classics like Cripple Creek and Dueling Banjos, Soldier's Joy, things like that, the other great banjo tunes, although could give you a little burst of Cripple Creek. Just for the purists, that's a very poor version of it. I play the style of banjo that I've christened folk banjo, the European or Irish style of five-string banjo, which is basically chords and very slow roll patterns. We call them roll patterns because you are literally rolling across the strings when you play the banjo. For example, if I put my pick on the drone string, then when I play there, I'm rolling across with the hand. And it's a rhythm type playing. You can also use the banjo for playing chords as well as rhythms, and you can play a lot of great songs just using just a couple of chords on the banjo. For example, got this one off the beginner's banjo course. You could play, "Well, I come from Alabama with a banjo on my knee. I'm going to my Susanna for to see. Oh, Susanna, why don't you cry for me? I'm going to Alabama with a banjo on my knee." As you can tell, it doesn't really help with the singing much. But the basic principle is you can play just about anything on the banjo that you want. If you don't want to play the chords and you really want to jazz it up, say you've got some relatives over and you want to impress them, you could go. Well, that ending went wrong. You get the basic idea. Okay. And that brings an end to our little trip down Banjo Road. And I hope you enjoyed it and hope you had a bit of fun there. And I hope your ears didn't burst with my poor rendition of Oh Susanna. When we come back, we're going to be discussing various models and brand names that you can buy from your local music store. So stick around.
Control F7.
Okay, I'm back, and if you hear any background noise, it just means we're having a little work done on the house. But that's okay, because all you need to listen to at this point is me. The playing side is over, and we're going to be discussing accessible material and different brands. Now, one of the biggest questions I got after Guitars Part 1 was, is there any accessible material for the blind? The answer is simply, there will be, because due to popular demand, I am actually working on a guitar course, Jack Scrimshaw's How to Play Guitar for the Blind, for both acoustic and electric players. So there's going to be folk guitar, there's going to be rock guitar, country guitar, bluegrass, anything you want in there. You can learn it using that course. Not sure when it's going to be available yet, so stick around for further updates of that. I'm not going to give any date until it's finished, basically, because like anybody else that makes something like this, you have a life outside your, I wouldn't say profession, but job on the sidelines. And now to instrument brands. If you're walking into a music shop saying you don't know the first thing to look for on a guitar, but you really want one, here are a few tips. Some good starting brands would definitely be an Encore, a Squire, especially for electrics. There aren't many Squire acoustics, but Encore acoustic, Fender electric, Yamaha, Gibson. They are some of the top brands in guitar making, and perhaps Crafter. Any other brand is probably just some cheap Korean ripoff, and while they may look good, and some do sound good, I mean, my banjo was one of those unbranded Korean models, and that sounded alright. But don't always go by that. Go by the model name if you can't get a demonstration of it. If you can get a demonstration on a model, they're willing to sit down with you and let you try the various types of guitars, and that's good, because then you'll be able to pick one that you like without referring to model names. Pricing is also important. I'd say for a Gibson or Fender, you could be paying anything up into the high hundreds or even thousands. So if you're starting out, don't splash out hundreds and hundreds. Just get something cheap, not second hand if you can help it, because then somebody else has used it several times and probably crashed all the good out of it. Get a decent guitar, say between $120 or £60 and £80 from your music shop. Maybe a little more, £100, £150, that's around $200 or $250, and make the most out of it. If you're going to take up guitar professionally after you've experimented, you know, you've been playing a couple of years and you really want to get into it, then you could pay anything up to £700 for a guitar, which is over $1,000. And that sounds like a lot of money. But you want as much wear as you can out of your instrument. That instrument has got to last you a long time. So, again, we talked about the fine wine. You got to pay for quality. Years later. Well, with a few crashing hard drives and stuff, we're actually back. I know this podcast was meant to be posted years ago, but it didn't happen. Now we've got new recorders, as you can hear, the recording quality has drastically improved. We also have, well, I also have a couple of unsigned albums out. One is out and one's on the way. Also have a nice little new amp. And I'm going to show you two really nice electric guitars, or rather one of them is going to be shown to you by a gentleman that you will know very well on Blind Cool Tech. And that is Christian Waywell.
Yay!
Who is just learning to play guitar, thanks to me. And the guitar Chris is going to show you is a Les Paul Special 2. Now keep in mind, Chris has been playing guitar for 2 days. So he's not going to really show you a tune or anything like that. He's just going to show you some of the effects that can be produced on this amp and the benefits of buying a good guitar. So, if we're ready to go, fire away, Chris, and say your spiel and give us a play.
Okay, so I've got the guitar in front of me. It's a rather nice guitar, actually. It looks like it's made of very shiny wood. I think Jack told me it was maple.
It is maple, yeah.
And very highly polished. It has a number of controls, just three. There's a tone control, a volume control and a pickup select. We're connected to an amp, which is, I believe, a Fender amp, and it says FM15 DSP on it, for those people that are interested in what this amp is. It has, at the moment, it's in the clean setting, so if I do my G chord here, which I'm not very good at yet, but I'll get there. Fret, Gordon, thank you. Tell very nice sound. We've got different effects that we can apply to this, such as various like a delay. Chorus effects. Slow chorus. A nice flange. And a couple of nice tremolo effects. Which I quite like, but not only does this amp have all of those, but it has amp models. Turn it down a little bit, we can go through the amp models. Various different types of amps, everything from jazz amps to something a little louder, distorted amps. Things like this distorted
feeding back E string, including.
Feeding back E string, including.
Well, that that Christian's using there, I believe, is the classic British rock amp, and these are really beautiful amps. And he's just switched to heavy metal there, which is like major distortion. You get the screamer included.
Like that?
Yeah. So for your Ozzy Osbourne and your Black Sabbath and all that, that is the kind of amp you'd want to use. For Queen and Brian May, you'd use your classic rock, and for some of the country stuff, you'd probably use a jazz amp. Now, you probably notice that guitar keeps dropping out of tune every now and again. Well, that's because the intonation is a bit funny about that. Now, when you buy a guitar for the first time, particularly online, you may get it and you may find that this problem occurs. A few tips I can give you there is don't put your guitar in a warm place. For example, against a radiator, because your neck will go, your strings will go, and before you know where you are, it's all my strings will go. The same will go for a cold place. If the guitar is too cold, say if you put it in the fridge, again, your neck's just going to, and that's it. You know, you've thrown away a couple of hundred quid. Now, a lot of these brand new student guitars, which Christian is using there, it is a learner's guitar, will come with cheap strings, because they expect you to learn to change your own strings, and they don't expect you to go gigging in the first 5 days. You know, it's for you to thrash the hell out of, and just to get to grips with the guitar. The Les Paul Special 2, by the way, that's the Epiphone model, is an ideal student guitar, because it's got a lovely action. The neck is not too difficult to master. What you can do, if you find your intonation is a bit off, or you need to change your strings and you're a bit unsure about it, take it to your local music store and they will do it for you. Should take no more than a week. If they've got it more than a week, then you really need to start asking questions. So that's the Les Paul Special 2. When we get back, I'm going to show you the absolute king of my guitar collection. Drum roll, please. Okay, doesn't help with the drumming. You guessed it, an American 1988 Fender Stratocaster. I will be back. And welcome back, folks. And I'm speaking up a little because I'm over the other side of the room with £1,000 worth of guitar. No, do not send your friends out to mug me. I have here an American Fender Strat and a pretty shit jack lead, which is why we're getting lots of. That is on the British rock setting. I'm just going to check my strings here. And that is what I mean by guitar quality. I mean, no offence to Christian, he has his Les Paul too, and it's the right sort of guitar for him. He's a student player, he is not well established at the guitar yet. So he spent, well, he didn't actually, we swapped instruments. He would have spent £150 on that Les Paul too. And I think you'll agree with me, Chris, when you're a starting musician, that's about all you want to spend on a guitar.
Exactly.
Yeah. Whereas, say you're getting a bit advanced and you're sort of, you know, you're doing the claps and stuff, you're going. Then you want to start spending some serious bucks. When you start playing. To get yourself a nice Fender Strat. Now this thing has two-tone controls. It also has, using two hands here, one volume control, and it has five pickup positions. At the moment we're on pickup one. I'm on the, it's either the Hot Rod or the British Amp, I'll tell you.
I think to show the pickups cleanly, we might you want to use the clean amp to get the idea what the different pickup sounds are like, I think,
okay,
as well.
Let's go to clean then. That's pickup one. Pickup two.
Pick up that.
And last of all, pick up five. Switch to the effects on this amp. We can switch here between. That's obviously a rhythm pickup. But now if we go to two. It sounds wrong, doesn't it? It's the lead pickup. So you go. Okay. So that's the Fender Strat. Now for a little treat before we go, I'm going to set this amp to heavy metal and absolutely rock out.
And not only have you got the old amp models, you can have the effect as well, can't you? So
absolutely. Actually,
which is
that's
absolutely
a good point,
fantastic.
Chris. I'm going to show you this. This is a neat little trick. We're on acoustic simulator. I'll just set my myself to rhythm. Very boring, don't you think? But into that amp with the acoustic simulator on, obviously it works as an acoustic amp as well. Isn't that cool?
Smart.
Change that effect to chorus, you've immediately got a 12 string guitar. Glenn Campbell, eat your heart out.
Let's wow.
Rock and roll. Okay, let's not. That's a good blues.
We haven't got the.
Okay, now we have.
Now we have. Whoa, here she goes.
Going to twiddle with some settings.
Sweet.
What would happen if I didn't twiddle with these settings is my amp would blow up and I'd be very cross. For those of you wanting to know, let's rock. This because this has taken some time to put together. I've had a number of hard drive crashes, moved house, etc., etc. I don't need to go into all the reasons why I haven't put this particular podcast together. When we come back with you, I'm going to be giving out some contact information, good source for buying guitars, what to look out for yet again, the stuff we've already gone over. And a couple of other things besides, and we may even finish off with a bit of vintage rock music. So stick around, I'll be right back.
And that is the end of the podcast, and to those of you who have been very patient and have waited for this podcast to be put up, I salute you and I thank you all. To those of you who are very impatient and sent me stupid messages and emails, well, obviously you guys completely suck. And to those of you who also sent emails who didn't ask about the podcast but had lots of guitar-related questions, I hope I was able to be a help to you in the best way possible. Obviously, I can't answer every question. My advice to you in choosing a guitar is, if you can being the key word, go down to a local music store, go through the guitars carefully. Make sure you state a specific price range before you start going through them, because you don't want to be playing on a Martin, which is £2,000 or $4,000, and think it's a budget acoustic for $120 or £60. Go through each one very carefully. Make sure the store owner knows your price range. Check the strings. Ask about the history if it is secondhand. If it's electric, of course, check the pickups. Fittings and fixtures are okay. If it is secondhand, it might be worth asking the music store to give it a once-over for you, restring it. The style of strings to go for would be Elixir or D'Addario. Some people use the Martin Lights. They're tend to be quite good strings as well. For 12 string owners, I'm sorry we didn't get to cover the 12 string in this podcast. Perhaps we'll do that next time round. If you would like to contact me for any guitar related question, discussion, or just to say hello and how much you enjoy the podcast, you can do so by sending an email to Jack, J-A-C-K, Scrimshaw, S-C-R-I-M-S-H-A-W, @gmail.com. You can also contact me via MSN and via Skype. And you can also use my Ventrilo server. The MSN address is Jack, J-A-C-K, _Scrimshaw, S-C-R-I-M-S-H-A-W, @hotmail.com. Now, be warned, I'm not going to tolerate any stupidness on the MSN front. We did get a couple of messages that did kind of go south of the border, as it were, and I'm just going to block you if you're going to do that. But if you do want a nice chat, then I'll be more than happy to talk to you. On Skype, I have to confess I very rarely use Skype, but if you want to add me because that's the only voice chat program you use or whatever, the address is JD Scrimshaw, all one word. Rewind the podcast back for the spelling of Scrimshaw. For Ventrilo, which I can be found on most days, for experienced Ventrilo users, just add voice, V-O-I-C-E, .Dallas, D-A-L-L-A-S, extreme, X-T-R-E-M-E. No, that's not it. Let's start the VT address again. It's voice, V-O-I-C-E, 402 .Dallas, D-A-L-L-A-S, X-T-R-E-M-E, .com. And the port number is 4986. If you've never used Ventrilo before, then MSN me and I will help you set it up one way or the other. Again, that port number, just in case you didn't catch it, is 4986. Well, that's it for Guitars and What They Do Part 2. I don't know if I'm going to be back with a Part 3, but I definitely will be back talking about more instruments. I think I'm going to do a podcast on the mandolin and possibly a little bit more surrounding accordions with Christian. I know he did a podcast way, way back on the 12 bass accordion. I'd certainly love to work with him again, and I'd like to thank him for his contributions to this podcast. And that's it, really. So, this is Jack Scrimshaw from Nottingham, England, signing off!